If you have a Bible this morning,
let's start in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Go to the beginning of the chapter. There are different phrases in the Bible and different things that just sort of strike a chord, and there are certain truths in the Word of God that as we go through life as a Christian, they begin to make more and more sense, and then they begin to form into what Paul calls a form of doctrine. And these thoughts to this morning are things that really should be at the heart of a Christian's thinking on a daily basis. The more you know of the Lord, the more you know of the Bible, the more you know about the past, present, and the future according to the words of God, which are absolute truth, okay? The more you do that, the more you're in danger of being disappointed in this life. Now, there are many, many, many Christians, perhaps the majority of Christians, you could say easily, that are not disappointed with life. And part of that is because they know some truth, okay? But there's a lot of truth they don't know. And then sometimes it's because maybe they haven't actually completely embraced that truth and made it absolute like you might and like some of us have decided to. And because of that, there is eternity, okay? And there is hope in eternity. And yeah, it's out there. And yeah, we're going there. But there's just so much about this life that we need to, be involved in. And the key is this, a child of God, a real Bible-believing Christian, is constantly engaged in daily life. But we have to have very powerful spiritual truths in order to be that way, because we really know that this life is nothing. It is but a vapor that passeth away. And we know that the earth shall be dissolved in the heavens. We know this. And the longer it sinks in, a year, 2 years, now for some of us, decades, the longer it sinks in, the more futile everything looks. And yet, he said, whatsoever you do, do heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord. So, it's important for us to, as we grow in Christ, to make these connections. But it's also important for us to realize that it's the normal Christian life, as Watchman Nee talked about. It's the normal Christian life for us to find it absolutely necessary to revisit and renew these things daily by the renewing of our mind. And I'm going to talk about four words here for a little bit this morning. Four words that are key words in the experience of a Bible-believing Christian in the world that we live in. And I have found myself, because I guess you could say just whatever, maybe genetically, whatever, or through influence of life, I'm blessed with working with my hands and my mind at the same time, building, designing, all those things. And yet there is a fleeting feeling about accomplishing something when you realize, hey, it's going to pass off the scene. I liken it to this, folks. You get the lawn looking just right, or you go out and get somebody else's lawn or the business's lawn looking just right, and it's going to stay that way a few days. And life can feel that way, and you get the dust off the furniture, the dust off of everything, and you vacuum up what's left of the bugs, and the next week it's the same thing. And that's the way life is on our cursed earth. It's cycles of just accomplish it, it's great, accomplish it again, it's great, accomplish it again, and pretty soon it gets to be, mundane. And because we do not feed upon the world, and because we do not feed upon the energy of the flesh, God has given us thoughts and words and pictures and truths to keep us going as true Bible-believing Christians in this earth. So that we do whatsoever we do it heartily as to the Lord. We don't just tack His name on it. We're literally doing it the best we can. We're doing it the quality. We're doing it the diligence when no one's looking, when it's right, because of Him. We're not doing it to get to heaven or any of those things. We know all those truths about eternal security and all those things, and yet we do it. But there's something that we must be careful we don't lose contact with. Let's start in Acts 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death. There's a lot in that sentence. Saul is Saul of Tarsus, who becomes, in another chapter here, just a little bit further down the history, he becomes Paul the Apostle. Okay? His death is talking about Stephen. They've just stoned him for preaching the Word of God to him and pleading with them so that they might come to God. And it says, at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. You would have to be devout to be willing just to be associated with this man's funeral. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He is persecuting men and women and torturing them. Therefore, verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And the very first word is scattered. Scattered. Now I'm going to give you just a heads up. Four words to try to sink in. Scattered, sown, sent, and spent. The lot in life of a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this to you. The Bible does not open up to you until you become a disciple. I'm going to give you an illustration, and it's this way in many things, but let's just take something like a true, say, martial arts. The reason they have those titles and things, and the reason you show the respect and you have a salute and stuff, is because you don't receive the skills and the knowledge until you, in your mind, want to be a disciple of it and learn it and receive it. And then after you received it and learned it and practiced it a while, they have different levels, discipleship levels. Why? So that you can go out and hurt somebody and be a bad guy? No, not at all. Not in a true sense. It's so that you're endowed and entrusted with a skill and a philosophy and a thinking. And I am not talking about some weird, you know, Eastern type thing. I'm talking about the discipline. Disciple and discipline are connected. So until you decide, until you say, I want to be, and you can believe what you want, I don't believe that God comes down and says to some people, okay, I'm going to put in you a desire to be saved, and I'm going to put in you a desire to be a disciple, but not others. Because it says that whosoever may come, it says go into all the world. There's too many ways in which God said, whosoever may come. And whosoever will follow me may follow me. So it's an act of will, which is the only thing we can possibly offer Him, is our heart and our will. Okay? Why is that so important? Because until you open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to be a disciple, I want to follow you, the Word of God doesn't make the same sense. It doesn't connect. Once it does, you are a disciple of this book, of the words of God, the same way that other people are a disciple of whatever they do. If it's business, or if it's sports, or it's finances, if it's health, if it's diet, just if it's mechanical things, if it's, you know, technological things, whatever it is, the disciple of Jesus Christ becomes absorbed and intent on finding out what the book says. And this thing is scattered. It's going to talk about human beings, Christians, being scattered, sown, sent, and spent in the few minutes we have. Now, in your Bible, scattered is a big word. It's very important. It says a bit later here in the book of Acts, chapter 11, for example, And it says in chapter 11, verse, I think it's around verse 20. Let's look. Verse 19. Now they which were, there we go, scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Now, get this picture, please. Get this picture. This picture, excuse me, this picture is this. They kept going further and further out from Jerusalem, like the Great Commission said they would. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, through the persecution and stuff. They were scattered. They would have all rather stayed together in Jerusalem. And once you find Christian fellowship, Christians like to be around each other. That's just kind of normal. It's your real eternal family. Now, if your physical family come to Christ and they are around you, then you've got the double blessing. But there are times when the spiritual family must take precedence over the physical, and that makes sense if we really believe what we say, and the Lord Jesus Christ taught it, okay? Now, whenever possible, it's great to have both in the same. But I want to talk a little bit about God's plan during the church age, this period from the cross to when Christ begins to come back, it's the process of His second coming. I want to talk about that with scattered, sown, sent, and spent. Now, in the Bible, scattered, by definition, is to drive something out or throw it out or disperse it. When you scatter things, you separate them. If you fellas ever had stuff, whether it be things on the table for sewing or mechanical things or parts, and somebody bumps it and it scatters it everywhere. Scatter can also be, to sow seed in a positive way. In Proverbs 11:24, he that scattereth, there is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, okay? Proverbs 11:24. But the initial original use was in Genesis 11 of your Bible. And what did he do? He scattered the people out from each other who were trying to get into all one place and build their own world. And God said, well, we're not going to have that. I'm going to scatter you. And he did it so by language. So that initial original use was to separate people, to scatter. Okay, I think everybody wants some form of togetherness. People say, well, I want to go out and live out in the country and get away from people and all that. That's fine, except when you want people, right? Everybody wants some form of togetherness. And for every exception, the rest is the rule. So most people want some security, some stability, some staying. So scattering is something we don't want. We don't necessarily want our children to scatter around different places and get different jobs and live in different things, but it happens. The initial original use was God scattered them. He separated them, put them all in different places. The intention of scattering was to break things up, to lessen the power of their togetherness, that nothing could be restrained from them, which they had imagined to do. Now, the reason that's important is sometimes it is for people's own good. I've said for years and years and years, you got one boy, little boy, and you got mischief. You put two little boys together and you got four boys mischief, even though you got two little boys. And I'm speaking from experience, ladies, about us men. Now, the intention of scattering a lot of time is judgment then. They take people, even if they're going to, if they're in prison, they put them in separate cells whenever possible, or and groups of maybe one or two or three. Why? Because you've got to scatter them. Okay? So the intention of scattering is often judgment. Sometimes it's like protection against mischief. Sometimes it's for, quote, their own good. Haven't you ever heard somebody say, all right, you two, break it up, break it up. Let's scatter it. Get apart, break it up. The instruments of scattering. In Genesis 11, it was language. In Exodus chapter 5, it says they were scattered everywhere trying to find the stuff to make the bricks out of. They kept their daily load the same and gave them less materials they had to go looking for it. In 1 Samuel 13, the people were scattered from King Saul. So he had a loss of unity and leadership. And that's it. That's significant. And so, many times the Lord uses this thing of scattering as judgment or chastisement or discipline. when God's people agreed to apostatize, to go away from God, he scattered them. You know, living for self scatters people. Okay? Living for self scatters people. Why does it do that? Because then people, if you get five people and they're getting along and then each of them starts living for self, you've got friction and you've got conflict. You've got scattering. Real quick, the illustrations. This is all introduction. The illustrations of scattering. Ready? Tower of Babel. We've got Babel. We've got the bondage in Egypt. In Egypt, they had grown in numbers and in strength and in the desire to be free. Okay? And so that bondage in Egypt made them want to get out of there. Sometimes as people want to get beyond the river. Over there in 1 Kings 14, God's people wanted some freedom. And the reason that's important is when you begin to think about it, I'll give you a reference for it, 1 Kings 14:15, the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He shall root up Israel out of the good land which he have given and shall scatter them beyond the river because they have made their groves. God said, I'm going to put you outside of your security zone because you've made something besides me your security zone. The unbelievers in the Lord, okay, became the majority of where God's people were. The breaking of earthly bondage is important. You know, sometimes what God will do is he'll scatter the enemies of God. He doesn't wipe them out. He'll just scatter them. Why does he do that? To lessen their power so that the child of God has the open door, the opportunity for victory. You know, what's important is that God wants to do that. Now, here's what I'd like for us to focus on for a few minutes, okay? What was judgment in the Old Testament? Okay? Well, I'm talking about it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and John chapter 17. Let's do that. John 17, 2 Corinthians 12, for the sake of time. What was judgment in the Old Testament? Okay, it was a tool, a tactic, a theme, is found in the New Testament, but for a different tool and tactic and theme. In the Old Testament, the people of God were to be geographically associated with each other. They were to be that. And so when God wanted to judge them, what he would do is he would scatter them. And they didn't get to be geographically in the promised land because they had made idols their trust. Sometimes they had just made self the center of their lives. And God said, no, I saved you. I called you out, etc., etc. I got you across the Red Sea as a nation. I put you in the promised land to be mine. And if you don't want to be that, then I will scatter you. Okay? So if you looked at something as scattering or sowing, let's talk about sowing. Sowing is primarily when you cast, you take seed, you sow it. Now, it's not only in the sense of taking it and put it in a specific hole in the ground. You sow it. In Mark chapter 4, if you want to, go read the parable of the sower, and he's sowing the seed, he's casting it. Okay? In the Bible, he would take those prophets in the Old Testament and he would send them. When we come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, would send out people. And he would send them out by twos. And then you get on into the book of Acts and he sends them. And we'll talk about that. In his earthly ministry, in John chapter 17, verse 18, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them. Now watch, into the world. Okay? This is while the Lord Jesus Christ is still alive and he's laying the foundation. And so, in the New Testament, the people of God are a spiritual nation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation, okay? Spiritual nation. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He says, where two or more agree, gather my name, there am I in the midst. Now, we get all our blessings. Well, let this sink in, believer. All our blessings come from judgment falling upon Jesus Christ for us. The judgment falling upon Jesus Christ was a blessing for the whole world. If they don't receive that blessing, then that's their loss. But it opened the door. He has paid for the sins of the whole world. The individual person must receive that and appropriate it. Now here's where, as believers, there's great power in a truth here. In the New Testament, they weren't being scattered in Acts 8 and Acts 11 out of judgment. Judgment was falling upon them because of their faith in Christ, because judgment had fallen upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how the world treats Him. Okay? They were scattered. They were sown. They went into all parts of the world. They were sent, sometimes to specific places. Okay? You know, Psalm 105, we preached a while back. I don't think we put it on, had it recorded, but we preached and preached on Romans 8:28, where it says that He sent a man before them. He sent Joseph. God sent Joseph by way of making him a slave. And then He sent Joseph by way of making him a steward. And then He sent Joseph by putting him into the bondage of prison. And then finally He called him out. And so it's important for us to get hold of that. You know, when Joseph got sold into slavery, it was a result of this. Israel said unto Joseph, Genesis 37:13, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." Joseph said, "If that's what you want to do, fine." He sent Joseph, a multiple type of Christ, to his brethren. He sent him there, and that started him being imprisoned and mistreated and lied about. And of course, it came all the way back around and was the salvation of the nation. So here's what we understand. Paul said, "I must fill up that which is behind of the suffering of Christ." Not that Christ didn't suffer enough, but if we're going to be Christians like our Savior Jesus Christ, it's going to fall upon us for the sake of the world. It's really important to get hold of this. This is a truth you cannot explain. You will never, ever, ever explain this to a lost person. You'll never explain this to a lukewarm Christian. And I don't know that you should try to. You should wait and pray and hope that they absorb the Word of God and the culture of the Word of God. See, when Paul wrote and said, "For our light affliction..." Well, let's back it up a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4:15. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." He said, "I'm going through this for yours. For which cause we faint not." We don't give up. We don't slacken our walk. "For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction..." The man writing this understood affliction. Stoned, imprisoned, beaten, hauled all over the place, attacked, okay, maligned. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment..." What, a lifetime? "It's but a vapor. Worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." Judgment seat of Christ. "While..." Here's the key. "We look not at the things which are seen." We have to deal with the things that are seen. We have to work in the things which are seen. But we don't look at them. "But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This is why it's so important. When he said he hath made him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, he put us to take his place." Ready? "So, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Right? "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove..." What is that? good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They're all, those three words are all about the same thing, the will of God. It's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. And so I want you to think of four words that are the lot in life of a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it's for Christ's sake and for the sake of the world. We're scattered sometimes, we're sown, we're sent, and we're spent. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's contrary to everything else we find in life, even to our own personal code. Okay? Many, many years ago, Doc was preaching. He was giving the illustration where a young preacher asked an old preacher if he had any thought or key that he could carry with him. And the old preacher looked at the young fellow and said, never spare yourself. Never spare yourself. I wrote that down, and it stuck with me daily. Without that thought, like I said to you recently, I recommended that the book that Sister Lynn Mullins wrote, and hopefully she's going to write more, called My Stories from Papua New Guinea. And like I said, you can get that from the place down in Florida, and the Victory Baptist Press, Milton, Florida. You know what their life says? They never spared themselves. Will you read that book, and makes you understand that there are people right now in this world, in this time, in this lifetime that have just taken what Jesus said. He let God scatter them and sow them and send them, and they spent and spend them. Three things. The church age center. I'm just going to say three things, okay, briefly. The church age center, the church age command or commission, and the church age course. Now listen, we believers in this age, we die daily. We fill up that which is behind. Ready? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Never spare yourself. You say, what is the church age center? It's the faith once delivered to the saints. It's the family of faith. It's the fruit of the Spirit and the faithful testimony. You see, the point is that the church age center is anywhere believers are. It's not a certain church. It's not a seminary. It's not a group. And quit trying to find one. Quit trying to be one. There are places that in time past, God just chose them to be the center, to be a watering and a feeding place, and they're still trying to be, and truthfully, they're not. But boy, I tell you, it's so hard for people to give up on it and to go back to the beginning and say, okay, what will it take? It's because God didn't tell us to center. He told us to let us be scattered and sown and sent and spent. God's people in any given place should be centered on that. You say, the people in the Old Testament had a tabernacle. Yeah. And it's great to have you a meeting place for the church, but it's Christ we're supposed to tabernacle in. And so that group of people needs to get around. See, the Bible crowd had a tower. Nowadays, you know what they keep advising everybody to do? Get you a place to meet. Get people busy. Get them rallied around something. And God says, well, you need to do all that loosely, because what I really want to do is I want to scatter and sow and send and spend God's people. He sends us. And it's okay for Him to. He told Paul, he said, I'm going to send you unto those people, unto those Gentiles. And when Paul testified, he said, I'm doing this because I'm sent. Now, isn't it amazing when you look at Paul's life, there's no real apparent rhyme or reason. It looks like he and even some of the people close to him were scattered. And why is it? Because that's how he works. You see, scattering in the Old Testament was a form of judgment. And when judgment fell on this earth, we have to taste of it with Christ. Okay? The sufferings, if we suffer with Him, if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. And so why is that so important? Because that's what our lot in life is. Now, it doesn't mean you have to not live in the same place 40 years. Fine if you get to. That's great. But beware. Amongst real, excuse me, Bible-believing Christians today, there's less missionary work being done. Okay? Because people aren't willing to be scattered and sown and sent and spent. Now, many people could be doing a work right where they're at if they would spend themselves there in obscurity. The Church Age Center is the New Testament faith. Okay? In your Bible, we're seed, and we're sheep, and we're sons, and we're soldiers, and we're sheepdogs. What do you do with them? You send them. You spend them. They're scattered. They're sown. The Church Age Command or Commission, remember? Go preach, teach, and teach them to observe. Wherever you find yourself. Listen, being a witness is far different from witnessing. God's people have been told, you need to be out witnessing, witnessing, witnessing. No, it said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Be a witness by your life. You say, should I ever speak up? Absolutely. But most people are using speaking up as a substitute for living it and loving it. And every now and then we need that rebuke. We should live it and love Jesus Christ. You're going to be scattered and sown and sent. And the end result is we're supposed to be spent. He said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more I love you, the less I be loved. The Church Age command is these things are going to happen. We must learn these truths and let them soak down in and then live them out and lead others into it. We have a generation of believers who have not been taught and preached and embraced this doctrine. They're all looking for some place. A lot of these young people in their 20s and 30s are looking for some place to get recognition in some place. And some of them, they'd like going off, you know, and being special and singing maybe and stuff. We need it in America. I get that. But there's too much of it going on in contrast to missionary work, for example, or into going and planting works where you just do the work day in and day out. I've told my guys, way back since 1986, I've said, go to a place, get you a job, make sure you stay busy working so that you don't get impatient with the work. Fellows who go to plant a work or fellows who go to some place and see what God's going to do, they get impatient if they have too much time on their hands. Digging a ditch, driving nails, turning wrenches, whatever, running a computer, whatever it is noble in God's eyes, and it's what we do because we're scattered and we're sent and we're sown and we're spending. And I just want to close with this, the Church Age course. The Church Age course. Now, I've abbreviated some of it just because my hope is that you get the big picture of this. What appeared to be judgment in the Old Testament is the lot in life of a true believer in Christ. Let's take the scattered thing. There's people that you're never going to get along with, not because you don't want to, you don't care about them, because you're a Bible-believing Christian. And the Lord Jesus Christ is who you want to be a disciple of. And there's people that just you have too little in common with them. That doesn't mean you disdain them or you're better than them, but you're not going to be able to join strongly with them. And there's times the Lord's going to sow you into a place. And many people spend more time trying to figure out why they're here and why they're not there instead of just growing where they're sown. What is the Church Age course? Let me give you a little illustration. Many of you have heard the story of Naaman over in 2 Kings 5. Right? Naaman's a leper. And Naaman finds out that there's a prophet that could heal him. And they get their wires crossed. One king writes a letter to another king telling the king to heal him. The king can't do it. The prophet... But how did it all start? Ready? Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. This is a little girl, a little maid, that had been taken away from her family and been pulled into Syria, and now she's serving Naaman's wife. She's a servant. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria. That sentence has an exclamation at the end of her sentence. How about that? For he would recover him of his leprosy. A little girl scattered amongst those people, the Syrians. That's the picture of the church age course. Let it sink in a minute. Acts chapter 1, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. When you read there, Acts chapter 8, they start being scattered. In Acts chapter 9, they're going out, and Paul's going to go as far as Damascus. Here's what I believe. If he'd not gotten saved, he was going to push these people to the ends of the earth. They would be getting out of his way because he was tempting them and torturing them and trying them. Instead, God saved him, and he took it to the end of the earth. But by the time you get to Acts 11, they're in Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch and Syria. And in Acts 11, verse 26, that's where they're first called Christians, is in Antioch of Syria. They prophesy the dearth. In other words, the course of the church age is for God's people to be scattered and sown and sent and spent. We spend ourselves for God Almighty. Never spare yourselves. Now, my exhortation is where you're at right now. Find ways to do what you want to do right where you're at. Just do it. I'm not talking about a flighty, frivolous, foolish sort of thing. But in this age, the course is not as it was in the Old Testament. The course is to be scattered into all the world. Now, you might be sown and take root and be there 20, 30, 40 years. Amen. Okay? You might end up like Paul's travels, if you look at his maps in the back of your Bible. But where you serve may well be from being scattered and sown and sent and spent. And I would encourage you, I would adjure you to do this. Ready? Where you're at today, say, Lord, if you scattered me to this place and sown me to this place, sent me to this place, I'll spend myself. I will very gladly spend and be spent. And he was saying it to the Corinthians who had not treated him well. I believe it's my last message that I put online. I said this. I said, the sheep are not the enemy. They can be frustrating. They can be etc. But the sheep are not the enemy. Your children are not the enemy. Your neighbor's not the enemy. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. The people that God has given us to spend and be spent for, to love, even if we're not loved, are not the enemy. We must not keep looking at the things which are seen, brethren and sisters. We need to understand that the church age course is to be scattered and sown and sent and spent. Father, simple thoughts, but I just know how much it's helped me and what you've done for me through it. And I really pray you'd use them now. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.